A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us here today. Are you excited to be here? Yes, I think all of us are excited to be here because, as we just heard, let me echo what Catherine have also said, that we have a Savior. We have a Savior. Because we have a Savior, you know, we are so excited. And today, you and I have a message to proclaim, a message that we can announce to the world that we have a Savior who is born into this world. A good morning to each and every one of you. At the same time, a very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us also online. Christmas is a wonderful time, right? It's a wonderful time. At the same time, it can be a stressful time, right? Some of you, I believe, have been very stressed buying gifts. Probably if I visit your homes these days, you will say, Pastor, don't come to this particular place because I have all my gifts stocked there. You know, I'm ready to give out all out of gifts. So Christmas is a wonderful time and for us, and at the same time, it's wonderful for us to focus on God's Word. You know, before I look into God's Word, I just want to challenge you, right? I think this is a time, not only we think of Christmas, but this is also a time that we prepare for the new year, right? We make plans, we make resolutions to step into the new year. If you would have seen the bulletin that was sent to you, you know, as a church, we want to journey together reading the New Testament, right? I've termed it as TNT, right? Do you know TNT? Yeah, many of you would know. Yes, we have patronized that store, a big store, right? It's TNT. So I've together New Testament. So if you want to be part of this journey, as a church, it would be wonderful if each and every one of you can say, you know, within 90 days, right? I want to take that challenge. I want to be together with the church reading the New Testament. You know, in your emails, you would have seen that you are asked to respond. And so at least I will know. And occasionally or periodically, I'll send you notes for us to just ponder as we do studies together. You know, Christmas is a time that we tend to give, right? We give our gifts. At the same time, we want to be seen helping the needy, the poor. And I'm so excited because, you know, as a church, we have been involved in sandwich runs. At the same time, giving towards people who are in need. So coming the new year, what is happening? You know, it's not only a time of Christmas, but I believe every month is a time for us. Every moment is an occasion for us to show our love and our care to the community. So next year, every month, we will have an outreach program, probably a food drive, right? Probably a visit to a neighborhood place where we can have food being supplied. And so, you know, we will ask you to be excited and be just part of this wonderful event. You know, Charlotte will be helping us to coordinate this evangelistic event. So let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we focus on the theme called Born a Baby, but Yet a King from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, Lord. I want to thank you for, Lord, that we can come as a family. Father, even in this time of Christmas, we pray, God, that we, our eyes and our focus will be on Jesus. And we pray, God, that we will not lose the meaning, the true meaning behind the reason for us to celebrate. And so, Lord, help us open our eyes, O God, to see you. We want to know you, Lord, and we want to draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I came across a story about a young girl who was 10 years old. A very interesting story. I believe in downtown, 2 years ago, together with my family, you know, we visited the Christmas market. I do not know whether I'm writing, saying it correctly. You know, where you tend to see a lot of lights, a lot of things that's happening, a lot of activities. And so in this story, a young girl of around 10 years old, you know, was invited by the family and friends to go and see the Christmas lights. And so she was so excited. And so they went looking at various locations. There were choirs that were singing, beautiful lights, wonderful to walk by, wonderful candies and all that. And so she was with her grandmother. And so the grandmother, you know, stopped by a church, you know, outside the church or the front of the church garden. It was a beautiful nativity scene. Let me tell you, kids are very smart people, right? Do you agree with me? Yes. Okay, so the grandmother called her and said, "Hey, honey, look at this beautiful nativity scene. Can you see the animals?" She said, "Yes, I see the animals." "Can you see Mary?" You know, she said, "Yes, I see Mary." "Do you see Joseph?" She said, "Yes." "And do you see the baby, Jesus, who's there?" And the girl said, "Yes, Grandma, I see the baby Jesus." But then, for a moment she looked, she said, it's really nice, it's really nice, but there is one thing that bothers me. You know, the grandmother was surprised, you know. She looked at everything, and every kids were just running around so excited. She said, "There's one thing that bothers me." And she made a very profound statement. She said, "Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up?" She said, "Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? Because every year I come, and he's the still baby, he's still born, he's still in the manger. I don't see him walking around." You know, when I was looking, I was reading the story, you know, it is a very profound statement. Sometimes as Christians, you know, we have this, we see Jesus as the same Jesus, right? He's so wonderful, he's so loving, it's a Jesus, a baby Jesus. But has Jesus grown in your life? Or is Jesus still a child in your life, a newborn child in our life? She made a very profound statement. How is Jesus? How do we see Jesus today? We have been looking at a series called Who is Jesus in this Advent season. So who is Jesus today? Has Jesus grown up in our life? You know, sometimes I say, you know, I'm reminded of Paul, the apostle, who said, you know, we are so satisfied drinking milk. But I think he wants us to eat solid food. And so the passage that is before us helps us to see and to recognize that Jesus is born as a baby, but he's yet a king. You know, they came, the magi, the wise men came. But when they saw the baby Jesus, they did not see the baby Jesus, but they saw that he was the king. And today, how do we see Jesus? Let me read a couple of words in verse 1 onwards from chapter 2 of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, you can follow with me. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem. They came and they asked, in verse 2 it says, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? You know, for a moment I was just thinking, they are coming to King Herod. King Herod was a cruel man. At the same time, he was the ruler at that particular time in history. And they were coming to a king. Can you imagine going to your prime minister and asking, you know, who is the prime minister of Canada? Where is the prime minister born in Canada? I think probably you will have some, difficulties if you do that. They are coming to King Herod and asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? And so when the first thing which I tend to realize that Jesus is born to be king. I think that's the first lesson that we draw from the magi, the wise men who came to see Jesus. You know, when I asked, you know, when they said, where is Jesus? Where is this king born to be king of the Jews? You know, for a moment I was asking myself, are they making a right statement? Because, you know, who is a king? Today, when you hear about the word king or monarchy, we always think about the United Kingdom, right? And I don't know for what reasons they have today. But today, when we say think of king, we think of power. The king have all the authority, the power. We think of king who has wealth, right? He can dictate terms. He can force people to, you know, and he can get his way out. And they are so powerful people. They have authority. They have wealth. They are seen as great people. But here, they are coming to a simple place. And they were asking, where is the king who is born, king of the Jews. And for a moment I was asking, were they mistaken? But I believe they were making a very prophetic statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word very carefully. You know, throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was always preaching about the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about the kingdom of God was at hand. And he was there to prepare the place. And so these magi, wise men, they were very prophetic. They saw Jesus not as the baby, but they saw that he's the king of the Jews. If you read, you know, there are several passages, but I just want to narrow it down to John chapter 18, verse 33. You know, Pilate is asking Jesus this question. I think all of us know he's asking Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Right? And Jesus is answering. And then in verse 36, you know, very specifically, Jesus answers in by saying, right, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, Jesus is the coming king, my friend. And that's what the Magi were coming. They searching for the king who's born, king of the Jews. In other words, you know, they were very prophetic. Today, when you look at Jesus, you should always say that he is the coming king. He is going to come, right? He is going to come and to establish the kingdom, my friend. You know, that is Christmas and that is Advent. Advent means coming. It's not only the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that is Advent. Advent also symbolizes or speaks ahead, that speaks to us about the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God, God coming into our lives. At the same time, God is going to establish his kingdom. His kingdom is going to be coming. You know, and today, we live in a world and time, everything is not certain. I was just talking to one of our brother today before service. I said, you know, I do not know when the pandemic will end, right? And we were having a conversation, you know, we do not know. It looks like everything in this world is so fragile and very temporal. But Jesus came to establish his kingdom, my friend. In other words, this king is going to come so that people who love him, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be with him in that particular kingdom, my friend. And so this kingdom of this world, this earthly kingdom, is temporal. It will end one day. And everything will perish in this world. Jesus is born as a baby, but yet is a king. And he is going to establish his kingdom. And so today, at Christmas time, it's wonderful. But today we need to ask ourselves, am I ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? If the Lord comes today, am I ready? Am I so excited? Am I ready where the Lord will say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. So Christmas is a time not only to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but at the same time to prepare ourselves for the kingdom that is coming, my friend, that Jesus is coming again. And the Magi, you know, well, I do not know whether they knew about it, but they were very prophetic, right? They were prophetic. You know, how wonderful if each and every one of us would say the prayer of John, who was in Patmos. If you read Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, you know, John beautifully finishes Revelation by saying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the word of John. And I believe, you know, if each and every one of us would say, Lord, come, I'm just ready anytime. Let me tell you, that is the best Christmas. And the Magi saw that Jesus is born as a king. Secondly, you know, when let's look at what is happening. They came to Herod and they said, no, where is the king, right, who's born? And what was Herod's reply? Remember the question they asked very specifically, who's born king of the Jews. And so in verse 3 it reads, or it goes like this, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, can you imagine, he's just calling the teachers of the law, people who knew the scriptures by heart. They will quote scriptures, right? And he asked them, and what was the question he asked? And what was the question of the Magi? It's totally a different question. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. But the Magi asked, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? But Herod, you know, he's asking a different question. It's something like, you know, what's your name? But you are saying, you know, you are saying your father's name. Right? And that's the way he's answered. He's asking, where is the Messiah to be born? You know, for a moment I was asking myself, did Herod have a hearing problem? Or is he teaching us something about the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe he's teaching us something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word that Herod is using, Messiah, means, you know, he is the anointed one, the Savior of the world who is going to come. The Magi was asking, born King of the Jews, but he was asking, where is the Messiah? Because Herod knew very well that the people were just waiting for the Messiah to be born. There was an expectation by the people. The Jews never saw him as the king of the Jews, because Herod came from another tribe, which was a very cruel tribe. The Jews did not like him. He was from the Edomites. And so he was always not seen as their king. And you know, some people say Herod was so cruel that someone said like this, it's better to be a pig than to be Herod's. It's better to be Herod's pig than to be his son, because he was so cruel. He will hurt anyone who will topple him. And so what was happening, you know, Herod knew that the Jews were expecting for a Messiah to come. And people were just expecting in the end of the first century, you know, every Jew was expecting for the Messiah to come. And Herod knew that, you know, the Messiah is to come. During the time of Jesus, before the time of Jesus, there were freedom fighters, there were zealots, there were the Qumran community, there was a community called the Essence community. They were just waiting for the Messiah to come. And some people were proclaiming that they were the Messiah, but their rule or their things did not last for a while, my friend. And so Herod knew the Messiah is coming. Look at the words very carefully. Right? I think last week or the previous week, I think we looked at Luke chapter 2, verse 23, where Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Can you imagine? So Simeon knew, because it was a time that people were just expecting for the Messiah to come. And Simeon, when he saw the baby, I believe there were so many babies. He was there for the temple every day seeing, but he knew that, you know, he was led by the Spirit. He knew that the Messiah is this baby. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In verse 36 of Luke chapter 2, you also read that Anna, the prophetess, right? She was also spoke about the redemption of Israel. So it was a time where people were waiting for the Messiah to come. The Messiah will be born. The Messiah will be born. Now, I believe, you know, sometimes we have heard this too many times in the church, right? That Jesus is the Savior of the world. Unfortunately, you know, some Christians, they say, you know, we have heard this word very often, right? Tell us something else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading a story about a pastor who had a visitor visit his church. And this stranger came to him after the service and told the pastor, you know, pastor, you know, I don't like the way you speak about the cross. I don't like the way you speak about Jesus and his death, right? It's better for you to preach about Jesus as a great teacher, as a great example, and a great healer. And so the pastor, he said, oh, good, that's wonderful. You know, a stranger was saying that he sees Jesus being preached as an example. So he said, if I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him? He said, yes, if you present Jesus as an example, as a model, as a way to go, I will follow that Jesus, he said. And so the pastor, you know, was very smartly, he said, okay, let's take the first step. He said, Jesus did not sin. That's a great example. Can you claim that you are sinless? The man did not know how to answer. For a moment, he kept quiet. Then he said, no. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I do sin. And then immediately the pastor said, then your greatest need is not an example. Your greatest need is a Savior. You need a Savior to forgive you from your sin. You need a Savior to help you to live a life that is pleasing God. Today, when many people look at the scripture, my friend, they say, 5 ways of successful living. Yes, I don't disagree with that. The scripture points about the redemptive plan of God, that Jesus came into this world, and Herod knew that Jesus is the Messiah. You can know everything about the Bible, my friend, but if we miss this point, we have missed everything. Today, you and I can worship God. That's wonderful. But if Jesus is not your Messiah, we have missed everything. We have missed everything. And he is our Savior. And he is the only Savior, my friend. Lastly, let me finish with this. You know, what was happening, right? The Magi, after hearing from King Herod, they walked, they followed the star. And in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. You know, for a moment, I was just trying to study to see how long they took this, to make this journey. You know, scholars are of the opinion that it would have started, probably some scholars are of the opinion, it's from 6 months to 2 years. 6 months to 2 years to see this baby who was born King of the Jews. Is it worth the journey? Come on. Today it's easy, right? You can take your 401 or 407, and the quickest way to come here, right, with a comfortable vehicle, right, and you can come. But they took a journey with camels, and they say in those days camels can only travel 10 miles a day, and they came in large groups. They came, and it says in verse 10, right, they were overjoyed. They saw Jesus and they worshipped him. Why did they worship a baby? When they saw Jesus, you know, they saw him born King of the Jews. At the same time, they worshipped him because they saw him that he is the Lord, my friend. And that's why we worship. Today, why do we come to worship God? Why do we worship God? Do we see him as the Lord? When we worship God, when we say that Jesus is the Lord, in other words, we are saying that Jesus is the power, Jesus is the authority, and that's why we worship, my friend. Today, you and I worship God because Jesus is powerful, Jesus has authority, and that's what they saw. Some say the wise men were like kings. They saw that this king has much more bigger authority than me. He has more power. He's in control of everything. And they were so overjoyed, right? It says they were not only joyful, they were just overjoyed. Today when we come to worship, are we so excited? Are we overjoyed? You know, do we come with that kind of joy and say, I'm excited to worship God today. Are you excited to worship God today? Yes. Can you imagine the Magi would have said, you know, it's worth the journey. It's worth. I've come to worship this baby, this Jesus, because they saw him as Lord, my friend. And secondly, when you look at the message of Christmas, when Jesus was born, right, when the angels announced it to the shepherds, you would have read, they were also overjoyed. They were just running with joy. They were just praising God. Can you imagine? When they heard the message of the angels, they were filled with joy. When they saw this baby, they were filled with joy. And not only that, you know, it also says they worshipped with gifts. I'm not going to dwell on the gifts, but what does it mean? You know, they said, you know, that he deserves. And this is what I have. And I'm willing to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came because they wanted to show their thankful heart, their gratitude for what God has done. Paul speaks about it. The best gift that you can ever give to God, in Romans, Paul says, has been a living sacrifice for God. And that's the best gift, my friend. It's not your money. It's not your time alone. But if you can say, Lord, I give myself to you, I think that is the best gift that we can ever give him. You know, when a person encounters God, when a person truly worships God, something happens. What happens? In verse 12, if you read, I'm going to finish. It says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, King Herod was a cruel man, as I told you. He will kill anyone who wants to topple him. And these men were foreigners. You better, right, listen to the law of the land. This king have actually ordered you to and said, you know, come back and tell me where this baby is born, this Messiah is born. But they did not. You know, when a person encounters Jesus, there is always a change to life. They went listening to the voice of God and not listening to the voice of the king, but listening to the king of the universe, my friend. And that is true worship. When a person truly encounters God, there is a changed life. There is a different direction, my friend. And that is worship. And that is if you see Jesus born to be your Lord. You know, if someone confesses that Jesus is Lord, but actually does not submit to the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are contradicting themselves. If you say Jesus is Lord through your lips, but you don't submit to Christ's rule, if you don't submit to his authority, then we are contradicting in our confession. We are just having a lip service. Is Jesus our Lord today? Or is he still a baby to us? They came and they were willing to listen to the King of the universe rather than King Herod, because they want to please the King of the universe, my friend. During the time of Christmas, you know, it's easy for us to lose focus, as Christians do. We're so busy, caught up. Let me encourage you not to lose focus. Let me share with you. Probably I would have shared with you this story. My wife and I had the privilege of staying in the U.S. in Dayton, Ohio. And Dayton, Ohio is known for famous brothers called the Wright Brothers. And we remember visiting the museum and all that. The Wright Brothers were known for, you know, for successfully getting the flying machine, in other words, the airplane, right, off the ground. And so in December 1903, the Wright Brothers, you know, they were so successful, and they finally was able to get off the flying machine, off the ground, and into the air. And there was so excitement. Can you imagine? That was the first time man was flying. Man was flying. And so these brothers, you know, and it was Christmas time, by the way, it's December. So they telegram their sister. Unfortunately, they didn't have WhatsApp, right? And so they telegram their sister, Catherine. Her sister's name is Catherine, by the way. And they said, you know, we have actually flown 120 feet. We will be home for Christmas. And they were so excited. No, we have actually flown 120 feet. That was the first part of the message, right? We will be home for Christmas. And so Catherine, you know, was so excited because the brothers are coming. And it's a family time together. And so she went to the editor of the local newspaper. In those days, they'll run to the editor of the newspaper. And in the local news, they will know what's happening in the neighborhood. And he glanced at it and said, you know, how nice the boys will be home for Christmas. The editor looked at it and he said, how nice the boys will be home for Christmas. Yes, but that is not the message, my friend. The big message, the big news was, we have flown 120 feet above ground. The editor missed the biggest message, that man has flown 120 feet. And today, you know, I hope you and I will never miss the big message, my friend, in the midst of our celebration, in the midst of our busy month, in the midst of preparing, you know, so many things, so many activities, or be involved in so many activities. Let's not miss the big picture, the big news that Jesus is born, King of the Jews, that Jesus is coming back again as the coming King. He's not just a baby, but He's born King of the Jews. He's coming again. As John said, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. And He is the only anointed one. He is the Messiah, born to be the Messiah. Apart from Jesus, my friend, there is no forgiveness of sin. Apart from Jesus, there is no Savior. Can you imagine a world without the Lord Jesus Christ? And lastly, Jesus is the Lord. And today is Jesus, your Lord. Does He have authority over your life? Does He have power over your life? Who is in charge? Let's pray. Christmas is a wonderful time, my friend. I think all of us would agree. A wonderful festive moment, a mood, a celebration. Yes, the Lord wants us to rejoice. The Lord wants us to be happy. The Lord wants us to be joyful. But that joy comes because of Jesus. Even we take away every gifts or present away from us, my friend, we can still be joyful because we have the good news, Jesus. Are you ready for the coming King? If this King comes back today, will you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into my rest? Is Jesus your Savior? Yes, He's the Savior of the world, but is Jesus your Savior? And is Jesus your Lord who has control over your life? Who's in charge? Is it you or is it Christ? Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You came. Help us, Lord, to see You and to know You during this Christmas time. And help us, Lord, to live a life for You alone. And help us, Lord, not to miss the big news that Jesus came and He's coming again. In Jesus' most wonderful loving name we pray. Amen.